This is Cliffo and Gabby's catch up.
Hello, hello. Thank you for downloading. It's the Cliffo and Gabby podcast. We had a very unusual start to our morning by pulling down our show Christmas tree that's been in our studio since before Christmas.
It's only the 18th of January, but we haven't been here.
We haven't been here.
And so no one else would take it down for
us. We have an excuse. However, the man who lives four houses down from me, because I went for a walk yesterday afternoon, and I've seen this in the mornings, actually. There must be solar-powered lights because they're still on when I go to work in the mornings. But I actually went past his house. I went for a walk yesterday afternoon, and I got up close, and I could see he still had – not only did he have, like, all of the lights still in the trees, but I could see through his window. The tree was still up.
No.
Still up.
You got to take it down, guys.
In the house.
I took mine down only because one of the legs of the tree broke, and it fell over, and it had decorations all over the living room floor.
You also have a dog that's only 2 kilos, so that's like timber. Like, that's, get away from the tree as it falls. Thank you for downloading the pod, everyone. Coming up today, you'll hear us chat with a woman who met the love of her life whilst he was behind bars. Hang about the Cliffo and Gabby podcast. Now on 131060, where did your kid relieve themselves? After a friend's kid relieved themselves in a very, very fancy kids play area in a pub. While
carpeted.
We're on a carpeted
play area.
And the other kids are running out going, a kid did away.
That poor child, that'd be so embarrassing.
Well, was it? Because how old were you? Five or six?
And we're like family friends.
Nappy liner on a bed.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, that just means I can.
That means I can just let go. I can let rip.
And so let rip you did. 131060, Tina's here. Tina, where did your kid relieve themselves?
Oh, so I was in the middle of McDonald's with a friend I've just made recently. Uh-huh. And he had relieved himself in the middle of the McDonald's playground.
Oh, no, the playground one!
When I crawl through there to clean it up, there's this clear sort of, you can look through it.
Yeah.
And the whole army had been in McDonald's, and they've just all looked at me while I'm cleaning up his business, and then I had to crawl back out.
Just go down the slide.
go down the slide.
That's the easiest way out.
Kyla's next. Kyla, where'd your kid relieve themselves?
So I was getting some money out of the cash machine in England. And my three-year-old decided to pee up all the window while there was a business meeting.
No!
Little boy, I'm assuming?
Definitely, yes. A girl would not do that.
No, well, I don't think she'd physically be able to.
No, it'd be interesting. Imagine the people in the bank, in the boardroom meeting.
Their faces were a picture.
I bet. Oh, Kyla. That sucks.
Funny.
Emily's here. Emily, where did your kid relieve themselves?
It was actually at the entrance to the local show. So he was about three, and his dad had taught him to pee outside. So we're buying our tickets and getting our wristbands, and he goes, "Dad, I'm doing it. There's a big line of people behind us, and I was like, oh, I'm leaving with that one, and went in.
I like that.
How can you be mad about it?
Forget about the show bags and the rides. Good on you, son. You're doing it.
Yeah. He was so proud of himself, and I just said to his dad, I'll leave you with that.
Yep, that's dad's job.
Good on your dad. Thanks, Emily. Mick's next. Mick, where did your kid relieve themselves?
Mate, it wasn't at my kid, it was me.
Oh, this is like Gabby doubling herself in. Yeah.
What'd you do?
Yeah, I used to do quite a bit of sleepwalking, and I'd often go, you know, on the hallway wall or something like that.
Lovely.
So my dad would, he'd catch me before that would happen. He'd take me to the toilet, and he'd get me to go on the toilet, and he's like, well, go to the toilet, mate, go on. And I did a number two on his foot.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he thought I was going to do a wee, but yeah, that wasn't what
go
I was
on.
After.
You're at the toilet now. Go, oh, wrong end.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Pointed him the wrong way.
In between the toes. We're never going to get one on.
Never going to get one on.
Never going to get one on.
Never going to get one.
Today's Never Going to Get One, a really interesting conversation. One I'm very intrigued by. We wanted to find someone who has fallen in love with someone in prison. So we're not talking knowing this person before they've gone into jail, but meeting them while they're in there and falling in love. And we have Bree Sutton on the phone with us right now. How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
Bree, I've heard about this happening before. I've never met someone who's fallen in love with someone in prison. But tell us a little bit about Harley and how you came to meet Harley while he was incarcerated.
Yes, so my best friend at the time, this was a year and a half ago now, she was talking to somebody in the same prison as him. He then said, does Bria want to talk to someone? Am I okay to give her number? At first I was a bit like, maybe not, because I didn't know anything about him, but I did a little bit of research and then I gave my number and that's just how it started.
I'm really confused because in my head, when you're in jail, you don't have a phone, you don't have the internet, you don't have those kind of luxuries, but obviously you do have those things where he is because you said you gave your number. How does that work?
Yeah, so at the time he did have a mobile phone, but he has been charged for it.
Oh, right. Okay, so it's a secret phone.
Gabby thought everyone follows the rules in prison.
Oh, no, there's so many people with phones. But ever since I've been talking to him, I've said, no, you're not having a phone. So we talk on the prison phone now. But in the beginning, that's how it worked.
Right.
You drive 7 hours every week to go and see him. Is it like in the movies where you guys get, I know in the movies they call them conjugal visits, where you get like one-on-one visits alone, or is it more like you're talking to each other through the glass, or how do the visits work?
So there's no glass or anything like that. The visiting hall is actually really big. They have the table set out, one chair for the prisoner, a table in between, and then 3 seats opposite. So all of the prisoners are in the same room, in the same visiting hall, and everyone's in there together. And you can have full-on contact, and you can also order food as well. So a little bit like a date.
a bit like a canteen.
Yeah.
So at what point when you were talking to him, did you realise you were in love?
I would say probably about a month and a bit into it, because we would talk so often. We found out so much about each other, had so much in common, and I just felt myself gradually falling for him, and we were both too scared to say it to each other. We just kept saying, I really, really like you. Never the love, but really like you. And then it got to the love.
So when does he get out, and what's the plan then?
In 40 days today.
Ooh. Oh my God. So how long have you been together for while he's been locked up?
We have been together officially since October 2020.
Wow. That's quite a long time.
So obviously you'll be together when he's out. What if he misbehaves and gets put back in jail? What happens then?
Then I would definitely have to second think everything, because he is wanting to change his life around and for the better, basically, not ever go back in there again.
Right.
Hopefully stick to that.
Interesting. So you are going to live together and you are going to, you know, live happily ever after when he does get out in 40 days?
Eventually. So when he first comes out, he'll be on a license for, I think it's 11 months.
So like what we call probation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what, he'll be tied to a few rules like curfews and certain places where he can and can't go. Once that's all done, then we can do whatever we want.
What did your friends and family say to you when they found out you were dating someone who was incarcerated?
When I first told my mum, she was just more concerned about what crime he'd done, like what he was in there for.
It was burglary, right?
Yeah. So when I told her, it made her feel a little bit better, because it wasn't anything to do with drugs or something like that, which she said she'd be concerned about. It has been quite a hard journey with my parents.
Yeah.
Well, you'll show them, Bria.
Yeah, you will, Bria. Yeah. And I don't know why, I feel this is an important thing to say, but like, I'm looking at a photo of you right now. You are an absolutely gorgeous girl. And I'm sure there would have been people out there who would have said stuff to you, like, why have you fallen in love with someone who is incarcerated, you know, while they were in jail?
Yeah.
When you could have, you know, anyone you sort of wanted on the outside world. But I guess the heart wants what the heart wants, right?
Yeah, I mean, when I went into sort of talking to him, I thought, oh, this is just going to be a little one-off thing where he'll call me now and then and it won't be serious. But I was so shocked. I didn't go into it wanting that. It just happened.
Well, Bria, look, it's been so interesting to get your story, mate. And I know you have documented a lot of it on TikTok as well. So if people want to know more about your story, just search for Bria, B-R-E-A-H Sutton, Bria Sutton on TikTok. Bria, incredible story. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you so much.
It is 2 days post-holiday for us. Are you still feeling it? Are you still kind of getting back into the swing of routine?
The alarm's a shock.
Yeah, yeah.
The alarm's not coming natural.
No, I'm feeling this that way as well. But looking back at my holiday, I wanted to impart some wisdom on everyone, something that I learned while traveling when it comes to packing a suitcase. Because there are certain rules to packing a suitcase that I broke. I broke all of the rules I'm about to set out for you. So this is me letting you learn from my mistakes.
Okay.
Okay.
Dude, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take note here because my wife's become the packer in our relationship.
Yeah.
And what I'll do is I'll take note and next time she's packing, I'll stand behind her.
And tell her.
And comment.
She's going to love it.
That's going to go down very well.
That's perfect. So please get your pen ready.
Helpful husband that I am. So impart your wisdom.
All right. Well, these are the do's and don'ts of packing a suitcase. Yeah. So don't forget to make sure your suitcase is in good nick before you go, because realizing two of the wheels are broken on your 24-kilo suitcase once you get to the airport is not ideal. I was literally leaving bits of wheel behind as I was going.
You want the wheels to turn. You don't want to be sliding, you know, 25, 30-odd kilos across the airport tiles.
And leaving those black rubber marks as you go. That happened. Do have a buffer of 5 kilograms minimum when going to your destination.
Smart.
So you have room to bring stuff home with you without being charged $50 for being 1.4 kilos over the limit. $50
for a kilo and a half.
Right?
Mate, I bought it like a kilo and a half of chicken wings the other day.
$50?
Not at all. Wow.
Yep.
That's a lot for not much. Okay, that's good.
Don't resort to packing all the heavy stuff in your carry-on to try to get away with the extra weight, because you will regret it when you have to carry it around for your 3-hour layover at the airport.
Yeah, you know, hey, just side note on that too, which I noticed after our trip. Jetstar are weighing you now.
Yes.
They're
they
weighing
will.
Your carry-on now.
Yeah, yeah. It's 7 kilos or something. Yeah. I think mine's about 15.
You're lucky you got away with it, mate.
And finally, this is the most important one.
Yeah.
Do pack your dirty undies under your other clothes in order to avoid them being seen when you have to open your suitcase at the airport to see what dead weight can be forfeited so you don't have to pay said $50
Gabby's
for
like,
extra weight.
How much does a skid mark weigh? Alphabucks. It's back in the morning after 8 o'clock. Alpha Bucks, Queensland's favourite game, $1,000 cash on the line, Gabs.
Here's an answer for you to get you closer to that $1,000. Green. Kermit says it's not easy being green.
He does say it's
not
easy being green.
Green is good when it comes to getting an answer for Alpha Bucks.
Are you going to tell your Kermit the Frog joke?
No, I'm not.
Gabby has the
I'm
most.
Definitely
You know
not.
What? If you want to know it, guys, just Google inappropriate Kermit the Frog jokes.
It's the rudest joke you'll ever
see.
That's
how bad it is we can't even do it on a podcast.
It's
and podcasting,
so bad.
There's no rules. Google this joke, Kermit the Frog dirty joke, and you'll get a great insight into the filthy mind that is inside Gabby Yogurt.
It's a great party joke.
Great joke. Anyway, your clue's green for Alpha Bucks, guys. A member of the team had to call 000 just the other day, and it was yours truly. It was moi.
I've never had to call 000
ever.
Not once.
Producer Brooke, have you had to call 000 before?
Yeah, when I've seen fires.
That's a scary one.
So when you call, do they ask you if you want fire?
Police, fire, or ambulance.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah,
can I It's just
sense.
Like it is in the movies and the TV shows and stuff.
Okay,
so it's a long story. I actually called Police Link first, and they're like, no, this is serious enough for 000. We're putting you through to 000. Because, you know, Police Link is like the non-urgent crime thing.
Yes.
But I called it and, you know, it's got to be a bit of a thing. Like, because you see little bits and pieces of stuff happen around town. But I saw something that was like, I don't know, this is dangerous. And I'm like, I'm calling Police Link straight away. What it was I was driving down the road in a 60, 70K zone area. And I was picking up my son from daycare. So I had my daughter in the car. She was privy to all this. Matilda, she's nearly 8 years old. And we're driving towards the daycare when I see something silver on the road in front of me. As I get closer, I realize that it's a pair of scissors. Now, I'm not talking about scissors that have, like, you know, the plastic, you know, casings or whatever that you put your fingers in. Like, you know those, like, sewing scissors my mum used to call them? Like, the real stainless steel scissors, really sharp. Like,
really,
you
could strong.
Stab someone with these things. And they had been placed in the middle of the road, leaning on a rock or something, so they were upright, right where your tyre would drive.
Oh, my God.
So I have done, you know,
bit of a manoeuvre.
Well, yeah, and it's probably not the safe thing to do. Like, I know they say if you're ever going to hit a kangaroo or whatever, like, don't swerve because, you know, swerving's what can actually kill people, you know. So I did what the instincts say to do, and I did swerve, not into the oncoming traffic, the other way, thankfully. Quite a busy road, like I say, like 60, 70 Ks is the, I can't remember off the top of my head, but it's about 60 Ks, the limit. And so I've swerved to miss them, and as I drive past them, I look in the rearview vision mirror, and I see all these kids scurrying away, like three kids who have deliberately put these scissors.
That's so dangerous.
In the middle of the road to try and pop someone's tire. So I ring Police Link on, this has got to stop or whatever. And the lady on Police Link goes, no, no, this is, that could be a real danger, a real threat. I'm putting you through to 000. So she put me through 000, did all the details. They took all the details. They said, we'll send a unit and all that sort of stuff. But just wanted to put it out there, like, as a warning. Like, because I think a lot of us too, like yourself, like, you don't have experience with it. You don't really know what to do.
I'm pretty timid about using it as well, because you don't want to waste resources.
You're told so often, like, don't dial 000
unless it's an emergency.
Unless it's an emergency. Yeah. But this made me think, no, that was actually potentially really, really dangerous on a busy road.
Yeah.
And it was probably 000 worthy. So, look, if you do need to know, just, you know, good to know these things. The number for Police Link for non-urgent crimes or anything you're seeing, non-urgent things you have to report, is 131444. And the number for 000 is not 911.
It's 000.
It's 000.
Shocking.
She's the woman answering all of life's tough questions. This is Ask Auntie Gabby on Hit.
Okay, so anyone who's got kids or has spent time around kids would know they ask lots of weird, wonderful questions.
A lot of questions.
Which are next to impossible sometimes to answer for us mere mortal parents.
But for me,
but
easy.
For Auntie Gabby. I mean, aunties
have
all the answers,
don't they? I've got a lot of confidence. Nothing else, I've got confidence.
We will see if it's misguided because during the break, and I'm going to do this going forward, I take note of the difficult to answer questions my kids ask, and I'm going to put them to you.
Okay.
So I have Charlie, who's nearly three, and Matilda, who turns eight this year.
Yes.
Ask Auntie Gabby question number one for today. This was a Matilda special.
Okay.
How do bees make honey? Do they have a machine that does it for them?
No, they don't have a machine. They're not robotic like we're trying to make the world. Bees take nectar from flowers. They eat it. And then they spit it back out onto the honeycomb and it makes honey.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know if that's
okay. I'm sitting here nodding going, oh, yeah, cool. Really?
I'm actually not sure.
Question number two.
So we're pretty much eating regurgitated bee spit.
Bee poo, guys. It's bee vomit. This question was posed after watching Home Alone in the lead up to Christmas.
Okay.
How could Kevin's parents forget him? Is there a chance this could ever happen to me?
No, Matilda, that'll never happen to you because your parents are actually good parents, unlike the McAllisters.
Good one. Question three. Why do bananas have a bend in them? This was a Charlie question.
Because when they hang, gravity takes hold and they kind of get a bit of a bend into them. They droop because of gravity. Sure.
Last but not least, ask Auntie Gabby, the first edition, possibly the last as well. Why does milk only ever come out of a mummy's boobs and never a daddy's boobs?
Because the nipples on men are useless. That's why.
Not going to get any disagreement here. It's a new year, but it's the same old Cliffo and Gabby. experiencing that bitter disappointment that I'm kind of ashamed of myself feeling when you get sucked in by clickbait on social media. It's the worst.
It is, because we know that clickbait is a thing, and so we're very careful about being sucked into these realms, but occasionally they're very sneaky.
I feel like it's like when we're sucked in, it's a little hit to our intelligence or
it
something.
It is, yes.
You're like,
oh, they
I'm
got me.
Smarter than
Damn
this.
Damn it, they got me.
How did they get me again? Yes. Well, they got me again. This morning, with the headline, The Bizarre Booster Side Effect. Okay. And I wanted to read this because I had my booster shot like a week or so ago.
Mm. No. Tell us why else you wanted to read it. What was the image?
Oh, the... Why? Have you looked at it? Because I've got it open now.
I saw the photo.
Okay, well, it's funny you mention that because that actually comes into it.
It does.
Because the image is a gorgeous woman.
There we go.
A solid tan. And she's lifting up her arm and she's rubbing underneath her arm, perfectly shaven, of course.
Of course. And yet, it could be mistaken that her hand is very close to the breast.
Well, it is. It's just above the bubladus. But yeah, that's the headline, the bizarre booster side effects. Like I said, I got the booster, so that's one reason I wanted to click it. You're right, the image sucked me in.
Yeah.
But what I was really sort of, I guess, upset or just, you know, like what an anticlimax to learn is that the side effect is just occasionally people who get the booster will have swollen lymph nodes.
Mm.
Now, lymph nodes are essentially clusters of white blood cells that beat infection in your body.
Yeah.
And they just swell a little bit.
And so, of course, it's going to swell because it's doing its job.
Yeah. That's the story.
It's your immune system doing what it's meant to do. Yeah.
That's not a sexy headline, isn't it? Like, your immune system does what it's supposed
what
to
it's
do.
Supposed
but
to
I'll
do.
Be honest, when I did see this sexy woman,
yeah,
like, rubbing under an arm and all that, like,
yeah,
I wasn't thinking about lymph nodes. The thought goes, oh, my God, the booster makes sexy women stink under their arms.
Oh,
oh no!
No! The Hit Breakfast Show!